The first reading is taken from Isaiah 42, verses 1 to 9. Here is my servant, whom I uphold, my chosen one in whom I delight. I will put my spirit on him, and he will bring justice to the nations. He will not shout or cry out or raise his voice in the streets. And bruised reed he will not break, and a smoldering wick he will not snuff out. In faithfulness he will bring forth justice. He will not falter or be discouraged till he establishes justice on earth. In his teaching the islands will put their hope. This is what God the Lord says, the creator of heavens, who stretches them out, who spreads them out the earth with all that springs from it, who gives breath to its people and life to those who walk on it. I, the Lord, have called you in righteousness. I will take hold of your hand. I will keep you and will make you to be a covenant for the people and a light for the Gentiles, to open eyes that are blind, to free captives from prison, and to release from the dungeon those who sit in darkness. I am the Lord. This is my name. I will not yield my glory to another or praise the idols. See, the former things have taken place, and new things I declare. Before they spring into being, I announce them to you.
The second reading is taken from Matthew 3, verses 13 to 17. Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to be baptized by John. But John tried to deter him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me? Jesus replied, Let it be so now. It is proper for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness. Then John consented. As soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. At that moment, heaven was opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
And a reading from Acts chapter 10. Peter is in the house of the Roman centurion Cornelius. Then Peter began to speak. I now realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism, but accepts from every nation the one who fears him and does what is right. You know the message God sent to the people of Israel, announcing the good news of peace through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all. You know what has happened throughout the province of Judea, beginning in Galilee after the baptism that John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and how he went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil, because God was with him. We are witnesses of everything he did in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They killed him by hanging him on a cross. But God raised him from the dead on the third day and caused him to be seen. He was not seen by all the people, but by witnesses whom God had already chosen, by us who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. He commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one whom God appointed as judge of the living and the dead. All the prophets testify about him, that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit came on all who heard the message. The circumcised believers who had come with Peter were astonished that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out even on Gentiles, for they heard them speaking in tongues and praising God. Then Peter said, Surely no one can stand in the way of their being baptized with water. They have received the Holy Spirit just as we have. So he ordered that they be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. And then they asked Peter to stay with them for a few days. Let's pray as Andrew comes to speak. Father, we ask that you would pour out your Spirit on Andrew as he speaks, and indeed on us as we listen. Help us to hear you speaking to us today. For Christ's sake. Amen.
Morning, everybody. It's only 6 days since we celebrated the Epiphany, the arrival of the Magi to see Jesus. And now we're sort of like a video recorder, fast forwarded 30 years. And actually, we know very little about those 30 years. We know that Jesus had to be taken into Egypt in exile for his own safety. And we know that he got lost in the temple when he was 12. So one might actually ask, why was such a long wait before Jesus' ministry was commissioned? I don't know if you're aware that before a Jewish priest took up his post, it was normally at the age of 30, a priest had to be washed as a symbol of the removal of their sins. But also, we had the arrival of John the Baptist. I mean, the Jews had been waiting 400 years for a prophet. And John was out in the desert preaching a program of calling to repentance. And it needed to change the atmosphere to prepare the ground for the arrival of Jesus' ministry. And people came from far and wide. And we have one of the best put-downs in the Bible. Some Pharisees and Sadducees arrive. And John says, "You brood of vipers." You know, I think I might have laughed if I'd heard that, to be honest with you. But amongst those who came was Jesus. And as we read, you know, John tries to deter Jesus from being baptized with water because that was for repentance. But if we look at verse 11, just before the reading, the reason is clear. "I baptize with water for repentance, but after me, one more powerful will baptize with the Holy Spirit and with fire." I don't know if you realize or appreciated the actual very baptism of Jesus was an extraordinary act of humility. After all, you know, he was the only one without sin. But the real significant baptism is not with water. It's immediately afterwards when the Holy Spirit comes down. And here we have an extraordinary thing. We have the three parts of the Trinity all together. We have Jesus in the flesh. We have the Holy Spirit coming down. And we have God with his voice. "This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased." Elsewhere we read in the Gospels that Andrew was a disciple of John. And the next day, he heard John talking about Jesus as Jesus walked by in the distance and saying, "Look, the Lamb of God." Later, Peter goes to his brother Simon Peter and says, "We have found the Messiah." Our final reading is another fast-forwarding, about 10, perhaps even 15 years. And Luke's record in Acts 10 is actually quite a pivotal moment in history. Up to this point, the Jewish followers of Jesus would not mix or eat with Gentiles due to the strict Mosaic food laws and the belief that the grace of God was reserved just for the Jews. Peter is in Joppa, modern-day Jaffa, on the coast. Where the oranges come from. About 30 miles away, there's a Roman centurion, Cornelius, who is quite a devout man. He's God-fearing, he's generous to the poor, and he prays for an hour every afternoon. At one of his prayer times, an angel appears to him and tells him to go and call Peter. So Cornelius sends off three messengers. The following day, Peter's on the roof about midday, just before lunch, praying, probably having a rumbling tummy and feeling hungry. And as you may recall, the sheet comes down and he sees unclean, what Jews regard as unclean birds and animals. And three times Peter has to be told, eat. And he comes out of his trance when the three messengers arrive knocking on the door. It's the following day that Peter and his party with a few friends go to Cornelius' house. And there's quite an extended party. There's all Cornelius' extended family, plus close friends. You know, perhaps you can imagine 40 or 50 people there. You know, quite a welcoming party. And it is clear from Peter's words that he's really understood the message of his trance and his vision. I now realise that God accepts any man who fears God and does what is right. Beg your pardon, missed the line, sorry about that. You're well aware that it's against our law for a Jew to associate with a Gentile or visit him. But God has told me that I should not call any man impure or unclean. And our reading is a summary of really a summary of Peter's sermon. And it's one of encouragement. He opens with, I now realize that God accepts any man who fears God and does what is right. And he builds on what they know. And he gives his own testimony around the resurrection. He really gets to the heart of the gospel. And he concludes with, everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. It is at this point the listeners are baptized with the Holy Spirit before any water baptism. And they speak in tongues like at Pentecost, giving an undeniable demonstration to the circumcised Jews present that the Holy Spirit is available to everyone. When Peter returns to Jerusalem, he's asked to explain his actions. But when he explains and they hear what has really happened, his people with him start praising God and saying, so then God has granted even the Gentiles repentance into life. It's only a short distance further on in Luke's testimony in chapter 13 that we see the first of Paul's missionary journeys. Peter, in this address, said the prophets testify about Jesus. And our passage from Isaiah 42 is just one of them. And it's regarded as the first of the four servant songs. We have the echoes from his baptism. My chosen one in whom I delight, I will put my spirit on him. From his trial before execution, he will not shout or cry out. He will not falter. From the reading of the scroll in the synagogue at Nazareth, to open eyes that are blind, setting captives free. But what is the message for us from today's readings? I think one of them is the humility of Jesus, his desire to serve. And if you remember at the Last Supper, he washes his disciples' feet and he called his disciples and us to serve. The second thing is importance of obedience. You know, if Peter hadn't responded to the message he received from that vision, the doors for Christianity would not have been open to reach across the world. And perhaps you and I would not be here this morning. Thirdly, the baptism of John was a preparatory step as found by Apollos and the believers in Ephesus, which we can read in chapter 18. But none of them had been fully blessed by baptism in the Spirit. And paraphrasing words from John Stott's book, Radical Disciple, it is the move from being spiritual babies to being more mature, to having a deep inward radical change brought about by the Holy Spirit in our human personality. I don't know if you noticed one of the opening words in the first verse of the song before we started the main service, "Let my heart be changed, renewed." That's what needs to be. To be honest with you, I had traits of Cornelius for many years. I tried to live a good life. I attended church regularly. I was reasonably good at my giving. I sort of gave money, standing orders to church and charity. I was doing church stuff around the place, looking after the building. Possibly regarded as being a good, reliable chap. But I knew I was missing something. You know, there was something that wasn't there. And I remember hearing the song at Spring Harvest about 15, 16 years ago. You know, it's a Tim Hughes song, which we're going to sing after this. "There must be more than this. O breath of God, come, breath, breathe within. Spirit of God, we wait for you. Let us anew, we pray. Consuming fire, fan into flames, a passion for your name. Spirit of God, fall in this place. Lord, have your way with us. Come like a rushing wind." But that desire for the baptism or the filling of the Holy Spirit took a long while to come. And I suspect it was a combination of things, really. It was probably subconscious. There was pride, not wishing to fitting loose of control, perhaps even some prejudice, perhaps fear, I don't know what, quite a variety of things. And what I would say to you is that receiving fully the Holy Spirit, for me personally, was very affirming, just feeling God's love. It was humbling. It's been tremendously liberating. And it just meant that a lot of things which might really get me down just don't. You know, there are plenty of things that can get you down. And you need that sometimes, that inner strength, to just that mental strength, which just comes from having God's presence. And I'm very, very grateful for it. But with the Holy Spirit, it's not a one-off situation. You just have to keep receiving it, because otherwise you're running on a memory or just the odours of it. And it is a question of keep receiving. And you may not be aware, later on this year, after Easter, we're starting a series about baptism in the Holy Spirit. And my prayer for us all, I've spoken at Alden this morning, my prayer for both our churches is that we all individually and collectively receive more of the Holy Spirit in 2020, because it is transforming, and it will transform this place. It will transform how we are received and how effective we are out in the community, and how we deal with people and how they see us. There's something attractive in somebody who's got the Holy Spirit. We can't see it ourselves, but there is. And it's just as well we probably don't see it, because pride may get in the way. So my prayer to you all is, Lord, I pray that we all receive more of your Holy Spirit this year. Lord, just fill us anew. Inspire us, encourage us, and make us strong to bring glory to you. In Jesus' name, amen.